Everyone said entrepreneurship was easy.
But honestly, let's be real about it.
Hi, my name is Varun Balsara.
And I'm Luke Nellicliffe.
And we are the hosts of the Human Entrepreneur Podcast.
This is the podcast that unmasks the human behind the entrepreneurs.
We uncover the skills they have learned,
lessons they wish they knew earlier,
and stories that will motivate, inspire, and sometimes shock you.
Entrepreneurship just got real.
Welcome to our show.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Human Entrepreneur Podcast. And I'm joined today by my co-host, Luke. Hi, Luke. It's about week nine into university term. How are you holding up?
Yeah, doing pretty well. Thank you, Varun. Yeah, excited to reach the end of term. And this week has been pretty fun. I've been learning how to skateboard a bit. So that's been like my outlet from human entrepreneur and university work. So I think it's so important to always take a break and look after our well-being.
Yeah,
that's
indeed.
Been a good hobby. How are you?
I mean, I'm good. Week eight, I mean, the essays are piling up, but it is what it is and we have to push through it. And yeah, this is the last final push, if you may. Yeah. Moving on to the podcast, The Conversation with Sanhans, it's an interesting story because it's all about how they formed their sanitizer business, really, at the very initial stages. Of course, now they've pivoted into making masks. But, you know, the idea behind sanitizers, I think it just struck me as such an important aspect of business in COVID. I still remember the time where I had to urgently pack my bags, pack my stuff and leave for home because all the flights were shutting down. I was in England, I was in London, and I had to rush back to Bombay where I stay. I had to buy a bunch of masks and I had to buy a bunch of sanitizers for the return journey home. And you wouldn't believe it, Luke, because I think you were in Australia at the time, but England, all the shops, especially like in London, where you'd probably find like so many products, the one product was not available was sanitizers and masks at the time. And it was scary. All the shelves were completely bought out. There was hardly any, you know, sanitizers left. And if you were lucky, maybe you'd find a bottle if you were lucky. And I don't think I was. This is a very interesting product that has, you know, gained so much traction in the last couple of months because of COVID. And I think, you know, Sanhans and the sisters have done a really great job of capturing that market. So I'm very excited for this conversation.
Yeah, and I think they're a really good example of entrepreneurs really taking advantage of an opportunity, but also making a real social impact and changing people's lives for the better. Yeah, I'm really excited. I hope you enjoy this podcast and we'll catch you in a bit. Welcome back to another episode of The Human Entrepreneur. Today, we're really lucky to be joined by Kira and Shauna, who are the co-founders of Sanhans, which is a wonderful company that is a social enterprise set up by them where they provide hand sanitizer to businesses, sports organizations to help combat the COVID epidemic. They have a really innovative and impactful business model where they give 20% of their proceeds to local food banks, a cause that has seen a huge drive in demand as a result of the pandemic, and also give 25% of their product to any frontline workers as a token of appreciation for all the hard work that they've really had to put in as a result of COVID. And as a result of this, they've given away over 1,000 hand sanitizer bottles to NHS workers around the UK and have also raised significant amounts of money for the food banks and good causes that they support. Welcome, girls. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Very good.
So I remember actually lockdown was starting and I was scrolling through LinkedIn and I think it was actually I saw your dad had posted about how daughters had started hand sands and how you're getting off the ground. And it's just wonderful to see how you've developed so much and how the social enterprise has developed. So do you want to just talk us through like the journey of how it all started and how you set it up?
Initially, we just kind of, I mean, we never thought that it would become what it has become. So we started off, our mum was going to work every day. She was a frontline worker at the height of the pandemic. It was scary. It was a weird time. And hand sanitizer and other PPE, but they were so difficult to get hold of. And we saw a bit of a solution. We had a connection in Bushmills in Northern Ireland. and they kind of pivoted their business to create hand sanitizer. So we started off literally buying bottles just for our family. And then, yeah, we saw an opportunity and thought, actually, maybe we can make something of this. So that's kind of where it started. Yeah.
Awesome. The whole idea behind this business, it started off with COVID. I kind of remember the time where sanitizers was actually a scarcity. People used to line up outside of, Luke and myself, we study at Warwick University. And typically, if you're studying at Warwick University, you stay in Leamington Spa. I remember trying to like go and buy sanitizers because that was the start of the pandemic. And there was literally no sanitizer bottles available. They said, come back at like, 7 or 8 a.m. And then there were these huge lines. So how did you manage to source these sanitizers? Or what was the supply chain looking like? You said you had a contact in a place.
I think firstly, with your point about it being really scarce, the amount of product there was, it was also very overpriced as well. And you weren't entirely sure what it was that you were rubbing on your hands, if it was effective, and if it was at all effective against coronavirus. One of our key aims was to create a product that our clients could trust in, and it would, you know, provide that kind of hope, not fear, that we kind of try to put out in our business.
And something that was easily accessible as well. But in terms of our supply chain, it was actually just a very lucky connection that we had. So it was our dad's friends in Northern Ireland and this distillery. Because of that connection and because our dad knew him very well, we could very easily get the sanitizer over here. And then after starting with small batches, then we started discussing expanding and taking more product off him. And then when he said, actually, it's very easy to do that, then yeah, we just started taking much bigger quantities off him. And then that's when we started looking into selling wholesale as well, because we saw that that was actually something that we now had the capacity to fulfill.
Yeah.
How did you first get your first contract going off the ground? What was that like?
I remember it was the Kenworth Rugby Club.
Oh, yeah.
And they had supported us so much before. So before we were even selling wholesale, anything like this, I mean, it wasn't very glamorous. We would stand in the rain and we would sell little packs of 3 hand sanitizers locally at the rugby club down in Kenilworth. And then we kind of had discussions with them and said, actually, we can make you bespoke bottles, because Sean is a graphic designer and she could make branded bottles for the sports club. And we thought it was actually just a one-off, didn't we? When we provided the bespoke bottles for Kenilworth Rugby Club, yeah, we thought that that was kind of a one-off thing. And then actually, then with that, we saw that there's potential to do this for other clubs.
I think when we were doing that, I remember this, a mum and son came through. We used to do kind of drive-throughs. So you would drive through, we'd take the money, give you the hand sanitizer kind of thing, and then go off, because it was like the height of the pandemic. So we were keeping our social distance and everything. And I remember this little boy came in and he was a real supporter of the rugby club. And I remember giving him his bottle and he was just so excited. And it was nice. It was weird. It was really good to see that someone was so excited by, you know, a little branded bottle. But also I think it was the element that it's hand sanitizer and that's now a daily necessity.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, oftentimes little kids might be really interested in getting like a new iPhone or a new piece of technology, but hand sanitizers become like this prized possession in a way.
Absolutely.
It's funny to see that shift in as a result of COVID. So after you got your first sale with the rugby club, how did you then go about approaching other organizations?
So through the rugby club, we spoke to the chairman, and then he had connections at other local rugby clubs. So we used his connections and then literally just went from there. Like, from every person we spoke to, we just pulled connections off them. We kind of just chanced it a bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
We just attacked everyone.
It worked out really well, because we ended up doing a really large order for the Warwick Rugby Union.
Yeah.
And that was supplying like all of the clubs in the rugby clubs in Warwick, and that worked really well. And to be honest, without the connections that Kenilworth Rugby provided us, we wouldn't have got that. And it's the same for all of our other orders. We kind of gain connections from each person. So I think it's just kind of a domino effect with that.
Yeah.
it links to something that I read online, what the You Girl said, where he said, your ambitions are never too big. I think this really highlights that domino effect of how you've grown Sandhands into something that's truly incredible. And it's been wonderful seeing, like, on social media, going for a few packs being sold, and now you're like filling up your car and getting like lorries, loads of hand sanitizer distributed. Where do you think you two personally developed that really like ambitious attitude?
At the beginning, we kind of saw that actually, if we can sell one pack, two packs, whatever, people need this and we're doing a good thing as well. And I think it was kind of that drive to continue doing what we're doing. And with that came that ambition to strive for whatever we believe that we can achieve. Because I think even we started with Solihull Moors Football Club with the support of our dad as well. I think he's very ambitious and he believes in us a lot as well. And we were thinking of like Aston Villa, Man United. But I think, and I used to laugh at Dad, but now I think actually it's not an unattainable goal.
I think as well, from kind of our social element, I mean, I don't know about you, but at the beginning of the pandemic, call me ignorant, but I didn't know much about food banks. I didn't realise how much demand was on food banks and how much the supply had plummeted. And that gap between supply and demand was just ever growing. And it really, really shocked me. And I think it shocked you as well, to see that we could make, even if it was the smallest difference to this. I think that's been a driving force behind it as well, to continue to try and close that gap, even if it's just the tiniest amount, every little helps.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that when we do go and visit our food banks, that we see how much they appreciate it. And I think, yeah, definitely, you're right, in the pandemic, in the height of it, it was really important to us to help them, wasn't it?
Definitely.
So in terms of understanding that market, I think when you're in it and when you're experiencing the whole sanitizer market, I think the more in-depth you actually, you know, get your hands dirty, that's when you actually understand what the market really looks like. What are the tips and tricks that you guys use to better understand those customers?
I think really we've just had to be really, really agile. We've had to be able to move quickly. We've had to be able to adapt quickly. An example of it being, we're looking at children are going back to school in September and hand sanitizer is something that they're going to need. So we have actually just literally yesterday, we bought our own machine. It gives us the ability to personalize our bottles. So we can put, like, you know, the kids' names on their bottles or something like that. This is something that we're going to target now. Mm-hmm. We've got a little brother and he goes to school and he'll pick up someone else's jumper. And then, you know, you look at the label and then you know who to return it to. So I think it's a similar thing with the hand sanitizer. It just means the kids aren't going to.
Yeah. And I also think that when it first started, it was such unprecedented times. And we're living in a climate at the minute where it's just, it's unpredictable. You can't expect anything. So I think we really had to, when building our business model, when building up our business, I think we really had to take that into account. And we worked with that. And so far, it's worked for us. So,
and just constantly looking at the news, like, you know, all the announcements.
Keeping ourselves educated.
Yeah. And all the announcements on when certain clubs are going to reopen and, you know, when the restaurants and bars reopen. Yeah. And we constantly had these dates in mind and we're constantly looking forward at, you know, what's coming.
So, for example, there was an announcement a couple of weeks ago and it was like casinos and things are opening. And immediately I went and made a label, made a mock-up just as a vision to see this is what it could look like, you know. So I think we kind of stay on the ball with things like that. And
has there been a time when that agility that you say has been tested that you found it challenging?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and I think, like you said, everything's unpredictable. So one day this is happening, but then the next day it's not happening anymore. And then I just think the unpredictability of everything at the minute is very challenging. But I think the way that we overcome it, and I say it to Sean all the time, is we don't get too excited about something until we've got it in writing.
Mm-hmm. Then we don't get let down.
Yeah, we don't get disheartened by it. You know, if something doesn't work out, then it's like, okay, we'll just move on to the next thing. So I think that's how we've like overcome that obstacle, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I kind of resonate with that. Until it's done, it's not really done. Many people can say, for sure. Yeah, 100% sounds like a cool idea. But until it actually is done or there's a transaction made, you don't really know. And that's actually kind of good feedback to see how many people can actually convert into paying customers or whatever the service that you're providing is. So yeah, that's very, very nice nugget of wisdom there. I was talking your Instagram page. One quote that I really liked was along the lines of, you know, don't build a business just for the money, build it for impacting others. I really like that one. Could you talk me through where that came from and how you have actually implemented that?
We are a not-for-profit and we're completely self-funded as well. Really, we haven't taken, for ourselves, we haven't taken much money out of the business at all. Like the majority of our money, we just reinvest. And obviously money goes to food banks and then into product that we're giving away. So our main goal is to feed into that. We never did it to take money for ourselves. That wasn't what it was about. I mean, if one day it gets to that point, then that would be great. But yeah. That's not our drive, really, is it?
No, and I think at the minute as well, with the money that we make, we're looking, obviously, to develop new products. And the products that we're looking to create, it's a lot of trial and error. Mm. And me being the graphic designer, obviously, I make all the labels and I design everything. And because to a customer, looking at your bottle, the label is the first thing that you see, not the sanitizer, it's the label. So that, to me, is one of the most important things. And using trial and error with that, and we support local businesses as well. So all of our labels are printed at Claridge's in Warwick, which is a printing shop, and we work with them and it works out nicely. So yeah, I think going back to it not being for money, we're a social enterprise. We want to help people, and that was the initial goal. And to be honest, I reckon that will stay implemented throughout our journey.
And the way we've worked is, because obviously we've sold outside of Warwickshire as well. So our motto is the community you buy in is the community that we support. So if you're buying in, I don't know, Leicester, we will give our proceeds to a food bank in Leicester. We're constantly supporting your local community as opposed to our community.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really love this. I love the whole social element of it. And also the community aspect, because I feel like oftentimes that's really lost in business and society, especially like with these large global organizations, that it's sometimes hard to still feel that connection between people in your community and really see an impact that you're trying to have on literally people who are living really close. So I love that element. Diving deep into who you are as people, why is this social side of the business so important to you? Because there's so many other businesses that have risen out of the COVID pandemic that are selling like hand sanitizer or like protective equipment in order to make more money. Why is that social element really ingrained in yourselves?
Firstly, I probably say that we've been brought up that way, and Dad has been working with a lot of social enterprises over the years, and we've always grown up with Dad doing drives across Europe and raising all the money for charity, and we've grown up with that, so we're always looking to do the same, I guess. And I think another thing that kind of became apparent, everything, like we've already said, everything's so unpredictable, we don't know what's going to happen, and there could be a point where our family might need the support of a food bank, my best friend's family might, or like our auntie, anyone could need this at any point. So I think to help it when we can help it, I think is so important.
Yeah,
because we never know when we ever
absolutely
need to fall on it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think at the beginning, our initial idea for it was never to make money either. It was just to help people out. And because we had hand sanitizer that was really high quality, it worked, it was nothing dubious, you know, we had a good sanitizer. We wanted to share that with people initially. So it wasn't, you know, we wanted to buy it and sell it for more money. That was never our initiative, really. So I think our beginning goal has kind of followed us throughout. So
I mean, the product doesn't need to be sold, really. Hand sanitizer itself doesn't need to be sold. People know they need it. So for us, we sell our dream and we sell our idea and we sell how you can support people by also supporting yourself by buying this sanitizer, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
hats off to you for that great thinking. I really like the whole social element of it. And, you know, you spoke a lot about uncertainty, and I'm sure with that uncertainty comes some amount of failure. Maybe for some, it's a fear of failure. For some, it's product market fit. For some, it's, what happens post-pandemic? What does that fear look like? What's that uncertainty look like for you, and how are you guys dealing with it?
The post-pandemic fear, that's not really something that we're totally scared of at the minute, just because we know that even after this is, we don't know how long it's going to last, but after it's over, I know that I'm going to be as hygienic as I possibly can be. What do you think in terms of fears? I think things like uncertainty and things like that. So, for example, one thing that was a struggle is the supply of plastic at the minute, because obviously China shut down for a while. So that was something that we had to consider. There was uncertainty with that. And then we just, you've just got to look at different ways of finding.
And I also think for me, because obviously I'm the design element in the business, I worry that sometimes developing new products, they might fall through, they might not gain any traction. And I think that sometimes is a little fear. But most of the times we've been quite lucky, to be honest, with, you know, overcoming our fears and actually pulling through. But yeah, I think for me, the development side of it, kind of worrying if it's going to work or whatever, I think that can be quite scary sometimes.
But I guess, like, with the uncertainty, with the fear, considering you guys are sisters, how does working in business look like?
It's been a bit of a challenge working together, but I think the way that we've kind of done this in the most effective way is we've drawn on each other's strong points. So you deal with all the design side of things because that is what you're good at. I will not get involved in that because it won't go very well. And then, you know, I look at the finances and the organizational side of things. And for us, that works really well. So I think because we've kind of established our roles, it means that our working relationship is a lot stronger. So when it comes to times of uncertainty, I think we work through them very well, because there's no inner conflict in what we're doing in the business. So it just means that
I think being able to build on a work relationship, everybody can relate to it. We've been, you know, stuck inside for months and months in lockdown with family and then running a business. At times, I'm not going to lie, it's been difficult. It's been a challenge. But I think, yeah, as you said, it's really strengthened us, and it's, you know, allowed us to kind of work through these unprecedented times and any fears that we strive to overcome.
I love that. It definitely can be very hard working with someone you already know that well. But I guess, like, having a separate responsibilities and duties and your area of expertise can really help. You know, one of the things that you also said a few minutes back was, you said that sanitizers in general is a pretty large market. Everybody knows about it. So the product itself is very generic. The way you differentiate yourself is when you tell your story and when you, you know, highlight the brand. How exactly do you do that?
One other thing that we have developed that makes our sanitizer stand out is it is made to a standard, a British standard, which is EN14476. And that means the way that they test it is the sanitizer is actually exposed to coronavirus for 20 seconds, I believe. So our product has, you know, it's been tested against the monster that is out there.
Yeah, that's a more recent thing. That does make our sanitizer stand out. As the reason that Dory sells is because...
I think people are shocked by our age.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I think that... I mean, that's probably helped us sell our story a bit, because, I mean, I remember we went to a meeting with the owner of Solihull Moors Football Club, and we had no idea what was about to happen. We just kind of went with high hopes to see what happened. And I remember he sat there and he did say to us, he was like, I cannot believe that at the time I was 19 and Sean was 17. And he was like, I can't believe that I'm actually talking to girls as young as you are. And I think that's really, really helped us.
Yeah, and I think at the beginning, when we first started it, I was kind of like, are people going to believe in us, or are people going to want to invest in us or whatever, because we're young and, you know, we don't know what we're doing in the eyes of other people. And but luckily, I mean,
I think with a bit of confidence,
luckily, can see that.
This is really interesting, actually, because I feel like age can either really support you or sometimes it can hinder you, because some people might not take you seriously on one end of the spectrum, but also people are very impressed. So yeah, have you tried to ensure that you use it to your benefits, and have you had any struggles as a result of that?
I don't think we've had any struggles with it, really.
Not really, but I think the reason for that is probably because Dad's really supported us. I feel like Dad gained most of our connections, because at the beginning I would definitely be quite shy to go up to a 56 year old man that owns a football club and say, hey, do you want some hand sanitizer? I think I'd be very shy to do that. So we were lucky in the sense that Dad was there to support us. But as time's gone on, we've gained confidence, our brand has gained trust from customers, so
we've developed a brand image as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I think our reputation and everything, it's all tied in nicely. I think people now trust in our brand, and obviously our prices and everything, they're happy with that.
And I think it just comes with time. Like, we are so, I mean, I know our story like the back of my hand. We live it, we breathe it. So with that and with the confidence, I think that really, really does help us. And I think because of that, we haven't really faced many issues in terms
of
marriage.
And we've never had it where, you know, somebody's ever commented on our age in a negative way. Mm. We're quite lucky with that, I think.
It's nice that your dad's helped. He's actually really helped me in past business ventures. So shout out to CJ as One thing I read also online was that you really believed in this cold conscious capitalist model. Is this something that you want to see other businesses take on board? Where does your drive for that come about? And how do you see it brought about in society?
I think it is very important. It's kind of where our drive comes from. And, you know, our whole social enterprise ties in with the whole idea of conscious capitalism as well. I think it's something that we should see more in society.
Yeah, because I feel like the benefits that you get from supporting a local business or supporting a charity or supporting something else, that equates to the same as like a little bit of extra money. And I think everybody should try and implement a social element, even a tiny bit, because slowly but surely, if everybody started doing a little bit more for their own society, we'd be living in a better place.
Just to deliberate a little more on conscious capitalism, what exactly is it and how do you define it in your context? How might, say, younger entrepreneurs out there listening to this adopt this model into their business or their decision making?
There's so many companies that go about it. I mean, it doesn't have to just have, you know, a social element. It could be environmental. It could be, you know, whatever it is. I think the way that I look at it for our business is our product costs the same as something you could buy in Boots or that you could buy in Wilkinson's. So you're not spending more money on our product, but you are having a positive impact by choosing our product over another one. We use our story and we use that to sell the idea of conscious capitalism.
Yeah.
Because our product is benefiting people, obviously we've implemented that social element. But I think it really depends on what your brand is and where you're taking it and what you want to benefit. So I think for us, we love to show the benefit that our buying our product has as
well.
Yeah,
it's really rewarding. Yeah, I think it is really rewarding. And I think it is something that should be implemented into many businesses.
I love what you said about how it's the same price as something as at Boots, because I feel like oftentimes with products in the sustainability market that are really making a positive impact on the world, it's charged at like a higher price. It's got that premium. Yeah. And therefore, it kind of like prices out people who might not have so much money, especially if they're facing hardships as a result of COVID. Was that something that you consciously chose to implement, or did it just come about?
I think because when we're a not-for-profit, we wanted to price our product at a point where we could still make enough money to give to the food banks and then also make enough money to reinvest into our brand so that we can do more of this. But that was really where we stopped that. Our price point, yeah, we chose, because at the beginning of the pandemic as well, when you couldn't get the hand sanitizer, I remember walking into shops and they were selling it for like £11 for a bottle of hand sanitizer that, I mean, it didn't even have the alcohol content on the bottle. And I remember we looked at it and we just thought, this is ridiculous, this is awful. So for us, yeah, we wanted something that was accessible to
people. And I think you're also, as Kira said earlier, when you're buying the hand sanitizer that we provide, you're also helping out a cause. So, you know, it's,
and that shouldn't cost
no it should, yeah, it shouldn't be an added cost.
Thank you for that. It's very humbling to hear what you guys have done. I wish you all the best, and I'm sure you're gonna go places. I just know it.
Thank you so much.
And I just want to know what's next for you guys. Where's this going? Even I'm talking like a couple of months from now, say hopefully a year from now when we're all done with COVID and all of that. What are the plans for the future?
Well, we're constantly diversifying. Yeah. So at the minute, we're just we're developing kind of new product ranges. So we're looking into the gifting market. And then we're also looking at developing our product, like making scented products. And then, like I mentioned, personalizing products and things like that. So that's something that we're looking at in the near future.
Yeah.
But in terms of the distant future, I guess it really just depends on how things play out. But like Shauna mentioned earlier, I don't think that the need for sanitizer is going anywhere anytime soon, because even once the pandemic isn't as pressing, it isn't as scary, I think paranoia will still live in people.
Yeah, and I also think that personally for me, a goal that I'd like for the future is obviously I want this to last as long as it can and, you know, really grow as it is. But I'd love to stay in the whole social element of business, and I'd really like to take that, you know, to do whatever with it in the future. But I would really like to continue that. So when, you know, if Sanhans continues and carries on as well as it's going, that's great. But if not, I would still like to do more things to help out.
And we've always said that no matter what happens with the business, I think it's such a good learning curve for us.
Yeah,
and I think that it'll give us so much life experience that we just wouldn't have had if we didn't embark on this. So I think that's taken pressure off us a little bit. Obviously, we're still as ambitious as we are, but if it does one day come to a stop, we can still draw positives out of what
we've
got.
Yeah, because I think from the whole experience, we've only gained. We've gained positivity. Yeah. We've gained strength in our business. We've gained, you know, hope from other people as well, which is, I think that's probably the most important thing to us. So we, never look at it in anything but a positive light.
Wonderful. I really love that element and just your passion for this, but also the fact that you're open to change. And I feel like that agility is where that really comes from. So yeah, to wrap up the podcast, we always like to do some quick fire questions with our guests. So first question to you would be, what are the top three mistakes that you'd want to avoid next time?
Top three mistakes. What do you think?
I think a mistake we probably made at the beginning to avoid disappointment, like we've already mentioned, is do not get excited about something until you have it in writing. I think that's one thing that, you know, we learned the hard way at the beginning. So that would be my number one.
Oh, I don't know. I feel really under pressure now.
I think another, I don't know if it's a mistake, but we definitely really underestimated ourselves.
Yeah,
and definitely. I think don't limit yourselves.
Oh, I've got another mistake, actually. My first label was horrible. So I wouldn't make that mistake again. I'd rather make it clean and clear as it is now. So I think I've developed my skills as time's gone on, and I'm actually very glad for it.
But I think at the beginning as well, we could have moved a lot faster because if we didn't underestimate our ability, mm-hmm. which I don't think we do now, but at the beginning, that was something that probably limited us a little bit.
Awesome. Just to clarify, what did you mean by your label being clear?
The first batch of labels that we did, the quality wasn't as high as it is at the minute. Our labels now, you can see hand sanitizer much clearer, whereas before it was so small and it was hard. The writing was hard to read. It wasn't concise.
You've refined.
Yeah, I've refined everything, and it's everything that you need to know is now on the bottle in a very organized and structured way. So I'm happy with it now.
So the next question we have is, what are the top three tips you would like to give young entrepreneurs?
One for me is just whatever you're doing, if you can help out the society in whatever way that you can, do it, because it's really rewarding. And I think if you can help out a community, or if you can help out a charity or anything, then why not do it? I think you're only doing good things. So I definitely say try and implement a social element.
And I think, like we mentioned earlier, don't let your age restrict you, because it definitely doesn't. And I think it can actually work in your favour. So yeah, age, it's definitely not a limiting factor.
And another one I'd say is like testing the market. Make sure that you know what you're going into.
And you will make mistakes. I think that's part and parcel of testing.
Yeah, it's all trial and error. But I think if you understand the market that you're entering, you'll be better off.
And what do you think makes you human entrepreneurs?
I go first? No, you can.
For me, I think it's having, like, you know, believing in yourself and know that you can do whatever you put your mind to, and running with it, really. Because at the beginning, I really didn't believe in myself. And as Kira said, I think that kind of maybe could have slowed us down a little bit at the beginning. But if you put your mind to it, I really believe you can do anything. And as I said earlier, you know, I don't think there's any unattainable goal. I look at everything as something that we can achieve. And I think for me, that's probably why.
I think passion and drive is a massive one, because I just don't think, if we didn't have the passion and drive that we have, we would not have got anywhere. I really don't think we would have. So for me, and I think passion comes off to other people as well. If you carry that, it's something that people recognise straight away.
Yeah, I resonate with the passion a whole lot. So definitely. You know, last question, and both of you can answer this one as well, is what is your morning routine?
It depends, because it definitely would involve sand hands. It's part of our everyday life, isn't it?
It's usually the first thing that we will discuss.
Yeah, over breakfast or whatever, we'll be speaking about it. So yeah, get up, brush your teeth, wash your face, sand hands. Yeah.
So. Wonderful. Awesome. Girls, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Where can people find you?
So we're on our social media is all Sand Hands UK.
SANHANZ UK.
And we are currently developing our website, which I think will go live this week or early next week. And that will be on our social media as well.
Yeah. And then if awesome. Anybody wanted to contact us for orders, it's sandhandsuk@gmail.com.
Beautiful.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much. Bye.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed it, drop a review wherever you're listening to this. And for weekly content, subscribe to our podcast channel. And for more updates, check our social media channels attached in the show notes below. Thank you very much.